A very pleasant afternoon. We are glad that you're with us this July the 13th, 2014, and this is a live program called Let the Bible Speak. We hope and pray that you are tuning in with an idea of learning to find out what God says in His Word, not to listen to man or any doctrine of man or any kind of teaching from man, but only to hear what God says in His Word. And so that is our desire to just let the Bible speak to all the questions that are on your heart and on your mind. We want to thank you for tuning in and listening to us today, and hopefully you've got Bible and pen or pencil in hand and paper to write down the answers, because the verses of scriptures we give you will be what God says. And we make no apology about that, because it is God that's going to have the final say one day, and we must look into His Word to find out what we should do in order to honor Him. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So we've got to look and find out what He says. So go ahead at this moment, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. The lines are available. They seem to be working fine. And you can set the topic for this program, the theme. But God is going to give the answer as we go to His Word, as we find the answer in His Word to the questions that are on your heart and on your mind. We want to thank you for listening, and thank you for tuning in and being with us today. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. However, there's another way you can communicate with us. If you have a desire to use your cell phone and text, you can also text your questions right now to 725-9283. That is 725-9283. That is the cell phone number or the text line that you can text us with your cell phone. One more time, that cell number or that text number is 725-9283. We want you to be aware that all of the phone numbers that we will use on today's program are area code 843. So be mindful of that, especially if you let people know from out of town or out of the country that they can tune in via our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com. BibleAlone.com. That is the website where they can hit the live stream button and be live with us no matter where they're at in the world, and they too can participate in today's broadcast. So go ahead and get your phone and get your Bible out. Get ready to get the answers from God's Word. The voice line again is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind.
Yes, and we, again, are always ready and willing and able to delve into the Scriptures to find the answer to your questions, things that you might have been pondering for some time, things you may have heard even this morning at your worship service or Bible study. And so it's imperative that we be able to find an answer in God's Word. Paul told Timothy in both 1 and 2 Timothy, he emphasized the importance of sound doctrine, sound teaching. And one of those passages is in verse 3 of chapter 6, where he says, "If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness." And so that is our desire. That's our plea, that's our hope, and that's the standard that we seek to apply to even our own selves, that we not fall for different teachings, but we follow the sound words that agree with the teachings of Jesus and His apostles that were promised by Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth, to the point that Jude 3 says, the faith was once for all delivered. And that's why we want to focus and want to encourage you to focus on finding your answers in God's Word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So take the opportunity today to investigate for your own self the answers to questions that you may have on the Bible. That number on the voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564, and then the text line is 725-9283. And throughout this radio broadcast, you will hear information about a Bible correspondence course that you can take in the mail. And we'll be talking about that throughout the program, not only the recorded message, but also from ourselves. And we will be trying to inform you of the benefits of this type of Bible study. And so we hope that you'll pay attention to those and even investigate that to the point that you sign up for the Bible correspondence course and take that for yourself. And so we invite you to participate in our program today in whatever level is of your interest, and we will seek to give you a promise that we will find that answer in the Word of God.
We have Sharon texting in this question, her last three digits of her number, 919. We want to thank you so much for listening and tuning in. My understanding, she listens and tunes in via the internet up in Columbia, if I'm not mistaken. And so we want to thank you for tuning in and listening and also calling in your question or texting your question. Her question is, what is watch night? Well, Sharon, I wish I could answer that, but there's no reference in the Bible, nothing in the Bible about watch night. I know man has come up with a number of different things, and it would be in different contexts and different ways in which it would be used as far as man's origin, but there is nothing in God's Word that would single out or even refer to a watch night. The Lord does tell us all to be watchmen, and that is that we should be prepared to be able to sound the alarm, and the alarm is that there's a judgment day coming. And so the Lord would have us to be heralding the good news and to heralding the warning so that we might not be caught unaware. And that's one of the whole purposes of this program, is to get people back into the Word of God and following God's Word alone so that we will not be caught off guard by Satan's devices, his distractions, and his bewilding us or confusing us. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Neither should we be. And so what we've got to do is find the answers in God's Word and then make the adjustments based upon what He says. Sharon, thank you so much for your question, and thank you for texting in your question, and thank you for listening week after week and being a faithful, not only listener, but also Bible student. We sure appreciate that very much.
And if she can give us some more context of what she means by watch night, that would be helpful.
Yes, that would be fruitful, and so that way we might be able to address that. But as far as my understanding of what man is calling watch night, there's nothing like that in the Bible. Again, the number is 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308-9564. Our text line is 725-9283. That is our text line, 725-9283. And you can text in your question via your cell phone. We're about to pause and let everyone know about a free offer. Yes, free. Everything we offer on this broadcast is absolutely free. We will not charge, nor do we ask or even insinuate in any way that you should give us a donation. That is not our purpose. Matter of fact, our purpose is to give you treasure, the treasure that will never be taken away from you. We want to send you a tool to help you to get into the Word of God and study it for yourself. We call it a Bible correspondence course, and it is absolutely free, and we're happy to send this to you. And thus, when you receive it in the mail this week, you will be at your own convenience, be able to sit down, open up the Bible, read what God says in His Word at a time that is most convenient for you, when you can concentrate the most on what God is saying through His Word, and then you will discover vital truths that you may have never seen before. You see, most denominations today operate within a parameter, a box, if you will, and they must operate within that doctrinal box in order to remain the doctrine or teaching or the denomination that they're in. Well, let's remove all such boxes as that and let God himself be the only one that gives us direction. So go ahead and call right now. Be the first to enroll, 553-5157. Again, that's area code 843-553-5157. We're going to get to you more about that during the break. But while we are at break, if you've already got the course, go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now and awaiting your questions, and we're glad to be able to be of service to you, and hopefully you have paper and pencil in hand, ready to write down the questions and the answers of where those questions will be found in God's Word. So please get ready, have your Bible ready, be able to join us as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions on your heart. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. The text line is 725-9283. And that way we'll be able to get your question in. We'll be able to get to the Bible for the answer. And so we have a question that's just come in, and we will get back to this watch night. We have some follow-up to that. Steve, you got the next question?
Yes, we have a question from George, and we appreciate, George, you listening. We appreciate your participation in the program today, and we appreciate what you're asking here. He references a passage in Matthew 4 and verse 4, and let's look at that first, and then we will look at his question. In Matthew 4 and verse 4, it's a familiar passage. It is the first attempt that Satan has made to tempt Jesus after he comes out of the wilderness. And these, if you recall, he's been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, according to verse 2. The tempter, Satan, comes to him and says, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And Jesus' response, as it was with all three of those temptations, is rooted in the Word of God. His defense against the temptation is the Word of God, which is, by the way, the example he leaves for us, that we can thwart the devices of Satan by the same means. And so in verse 4, Jesus answered and says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So the question that George had is, please explain how this passage, fits in to when y'all mentioned we live under the New Testament and not the Old Testament. I think last week we had several questions concerning the difference between the Old and New Testament. And so I'm imagining that the question that George has is that every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that would include both Old Testament and New Testament. Well, when we look at what the New Testament says about the Old Testament, there are several things that we want to consider. One is that, yes, there was a benefit, a use, indeed an encouragement for those New Testament Christians to read the Old Testament. One of those passages is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, as it talks about those things that happened in the wilderness with Moses. He said, "Now these things happened to them as an example that we should not do as they did," basically is the idea. It reads in the text that verse 11, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come." And so as we read such examples, as were stated in verses 1 through 10 of 1 Corinthians, these are things that we ought not be doing. In fact, it goes on to say earlier in the text that we should not commit sexual immorality, verse 8. We should not tempt Christ, as in verse 9, nor complain, verse 10, as some of them complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. And so there is benefit to reading the Old Testament and benefiting from that. Now, something else that the New Testament says about the Old Testament is found in Galatians chapter 3, and this has to be taken with consideration too, because again, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is important. And so in this particular passage, there is a point made about the temporary nature of the law of Moses that was given to the Jews. If you look in verse 21 initially, and in this chapter, by the way, there are three things that are being talked about: the promise made to Abraham, the law that was given 430 years later, and the gospel, the faith in Jesus Christ. So let's begin verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which would have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. And so that verse puts the use of the Old Testament in a proper context. We're not guided by that law. We don't worship by that law. We don't obey God under that law. Yes, there are examples that we can benefit from, that we don't sin like they did. But as far as the faith in Jesus Christ, that was the end point of the Old Testament. That was the whole point. You look in the book of Hebrews, to go back under that law is a bad thing. It is a thing that will cause us to lose our salvation. In fact, that's the point made also by Paul in Galatians chapter 5. And he makes this statement concerning what they would do. Verse 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage," which is the Old Testament. "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you have become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace." So, George, I hope that is helpful as we think about how do we understand the Old Testament and the New Testament. Both are inspired, both are important to read, but as far as the authority over us, that is now the New Testament. So we appreciate your question. If you've got a question, please call us, 308-9564. You can text us at 725-9283, and we will see what the Bible says.
Did you go over Romans 15:4?
No, I did not.
Romans 15:4 shows us that we should learn the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. It says, "Whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So we're not saying throw it out the window. What we're saying is just speak as the Bible speaks and let God tell us how to use it. 1 Corinthians 10 also several times shows us why we should know what the Old Testament says. We have a caller calling in this question, a follow-up to the previous one. That is, what is Watch Night? They wrote back and said, "Watch Night is observed on December 31st at church to pray the old year out and the new year in. Service usually starts around 9 and ends after midnight. Probably a tradition." Yes, it is a tradition. It is something that man or churches have come up with today as a tradition. Matter of fact, our calendar that we use is also something that man has come up with. The Jewish calendar, for example, that they lived by in the first century, the new year was in September, if my information is correct here. And so that would be entirely different than what we would call January 31st. So even calendars from place to place throughout the year, man have created. And so the only thing that we can do is to let the Bible speak. And God says nothing about celebrating the new year. What he does tell us in the New Testament is that we're supposed to remember one particular event, one day, and that is supposed to be remembered every first day of the week on what we call Sunday, and that is that we're to commune with our Lord as we remember his death, burial, and resurrection. And so that's practiced in the New Testament, Acts 20 and verse 7, is when we see that they came together to break bread. So the Bible says nothing about yearly events at all as far as we are to follow today. We are to follow what Christ says, and he makes it a weekly event that we should be remembering. And that is commanded, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27. So there you could see that's the only, if you will, event that we should be remembering on done weekly. Thank you so much, Sharon. We sure appreciate your question and your insight into this. It's time for us to take our next break. We want you to know that the information, the Bible correspondence course that we're telling you about is free. And if you have not signed up for this, we do encourage you to do that. You will never be asked for a donation in any way. Matter of fact, it is our honor to share with you the riches that are contained in God's Word. Most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. When we stand before God, we cannot blame churches if we have not heard the truth. God has done his part to preserve the truth to where it is living and abiding forever. Even now, 2,000 years later, we still have it. So God has done his part to make certain that we have access to the truth. But if we choose to be unknowledgeable of what God expects of us, there will be no excuse. You know it wouldn't work that way. If you were stopped by a policeman and you were going 60 in a 30-mile-an-hour and you told the policeman, well, I didn't know it was a 30-mile-an-hour. Well, ignorance of the law is no excuse, nor will it be on Judgment Day. So let's read what God says so that we can know exactly what he expects us to do. So on that day, we will not be like those Jesus spoke of in Matthew 7 in verse 22. He said, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, cast out demons in thy name, and in thy name done many wonders in thy name? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You get that? We got to know the law before we can practice it. So why not enroll in this course today? The number is 553-5157, and we'll get that in the mail to you even this week, and you will be blessed as you get into the Word. Now, if you've already got the course, then go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are so glad that you continued with us through the break, and we hope that you benefited from that information about the Bible Correspondence Course. As we said, it's free. That's one of the things that is good about this course. It's free. You know, God gave us grace. It was free to us, even though it was costly to him, and we can benefit from that. So participate in the program, please. 308-9564 is the voice line. 725-9283 is the text line. And we are awaiting your questions. We have several on deck here, and we will get to those right now.
We have a text caller calling in this question. What does the Bible prophecy say concerning world events today? Well, thank you, caller. We sure appreciate it. This is from the text line. The last three digits are 113. And thank you so much. You are a longtime listener. I was just scanning through here your messages that you've been listening since October of last year. So this is awesome. We thank you for being such a listener, and your desire to know what God says in his Word is absolutely awesome. And so it is to God's Word that we will go. In Luke chapter 24, we see concerning the things that Jesus were fulfilling addressed there. That is, everything in the Old Testament concerning Christ. So if you think about all the verses and all the things that are written in God's Word as far as the Old Testament is concerned, Jesus said that these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. This is Luke 24:44, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So there it brings out that those things concerning Christ in the Old Testament, they were all fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled them all. He said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. That fits into what Steve was discussing earlier. And so that law was fulfilled. It served its purpose. It was like a scaffolding of a building to assemble and to put together a building. And the building in this case was truly the salvation of mankind through his death on the cross. That was fulfilled. Now, world events that may be going on today was your question. Well, let me just point out there's only one thing that I can say with certainty that the Bible addresses about things that are still to occur. And so I'm going to 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, where it talks about the last days, the end times. As far as the last days, let me go ahead and address that. That phrase is used in Acts chapter 2, and then also in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, in different times and different manners, spoken times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So the last days began in the first century. Now, when will they end? Well, 2 Peter 3 brings out, beginning with verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved on fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat. There not once but twice, God says, on that day, this universe as we know it will come to an end. Now, as all these things, as far as in present day news and such, I do not see how that fits into any of what we just read in God's Word. So thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that. And thank you for the long time listening, and hope that passage was helpful to you. That was 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 14. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or if you'd rather text, you can text us at 725-9283. Steve?
Yes, we have a question from Ben. Ben's another long-time listener and participant in the program. We appreciate Ben so much. We appreciate typically his questions pull out a Bible verse and have a question about that. And so today's Bible verse that he has a question on is Ephesians 4 and verse 27. So if you got your Bibles handy, if you could turn to that passage. The context of this passage is about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. That's mentioned in principle up to verse 23. And then verse 25 and following talks about examples of what that looks like. Verse 25 says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And it goes on talking about corrupt communication, what we do with our tongue. So in the middle of this contrast about what we ought to put off, the old man, and what we ought to put on as far as specific activities, there is this reference about anger where it says, nor give place to the devil. The New American Standard uses the word, don't give the devil an opportunity. And that word place or opportunity can mean a spot, a place, or an opportunity, occasion for acting. So we should not let Satan have even a foothold, not even a little place for his little finger or his little toe. Now, to add to what we ought to be doing, of course, Ephesians 4 talks about taking off the old man, putting on the new. If 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 also gives us what God would desire for us as his people and how we ought to be. Verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians 5 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's Matthew 23:37, where Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your mind, with all your understanding. So what God wants is complete holiness and subjection to him. Do not give Satan any opportunity. Don't flirt with the world. Don't flirt with temptation. Don't think you're above it. Don't think you're stronger than it. Don't try to get as close to the line of the world as possible, but go away from it as far as possible so that you can be completely and wholly sanctified and meet for the service of God in his will. We have a live caller on right now, and this is Robert.
Robert, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I barely can hear you. 1 second. Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Good evening. I don't have a question, but I listen to you all as often as I can. I know y'all have extended hours since I've started listening to you, but I've been in the book of Proverbs for discipline. I know a little bit about the history of Proverbs, but I was wondering, could the Bible at any time, let the Bible speak at any time, might find a place in the programming to elaborate on that whole book?
31 chapters of Proverbs. Now, I tell you what, Robert, this may be a resource for you, and I'll be checking my website even as I'm talking to you. We have on our website, an index for the book of Proverbs. And so if you go there, you can download that free of charge and print it out any way you want to. And it will be a resource for you in that I went through the book of Proverbs and made it in topical order. And it's just a concise list of the main topics in the book of Proverbs and every place it mentions it. And so you're welcome to that. You can print it out as many times as you want and give it away. It is a resource that I'm just thrilled to be able to direct you to.
I'm in Proverbs all the time. Of course, I listen to your show, and reading the Bible has really changed my life. If anyone picks it up and reads it for 10 minutes or whenever you have a situation, I promise you the outcome won't be what it would have been if you had just acted.
Yeah, I just checked the website. It is there, and it's actually it looks like it's in Word format, a document, and so you can take it and actually add to it, making it your own.
Can you give me the website again?
BibleAlone.com or BibleAlone.org, and it is in the Bible study materials section, and right in the middle of the list it says Proverbs Index. And so you can take that and print it out, and you can make it your own. I don't claim any authenticity because all it is just an index to the various topics in the book.
And we know that there are, 30 or 31 books in Proverbs?
31 chapters.
Yeah, 31 chapters. I tried to do that one per day, but I got too busy.
Yeah, well, that's a good
method. That's why I was asking if the Bible could let the Bible speak as a challenge on the whole book of Proverbs.
Well, there you
have it. That sounded funny, right?
Well, I tell you what you can do. Once you print out that index, this is what I've done. I'm looking at it right now. I just printed it out, and I shrunk it down to a smaller format. And I went through, and all of the Proverbs dealing with the tongue, I highlighted those in pink because that's the color of my tongue. So now when I scan through Proverbs, every time I see pink, I know it's talking about how to use my tongue. The ones dealing with money, I did those in green. So every time I see green, I know it's talking about money.
Very good.
You can choose a color for whatever topic, and then you just watch for that color, and just in a few moments, you can scan through and read every bit of the wisdom in Proverbs on the various topics.
Okay, thank you. I won't take up too much of airtime. I just thought I could challenge to let the Bible speak on the book of Proverbs.
Well, there you go.
Well, you've definitely encouraged us, Robert, and we appreciate that. You got kids?
Thank you. Yes, I do, but they need to read Proverbs.
Yes, I was going to suggest that, especially those first 7 chapters. God's in your corner, man. Well, thanks for your call, okay. Robert.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Again, the number, if you have a question you'd like to call in right now, you can call. The voice line is available, 308-9564. The text line is available always at 725-9283. And you can text your question in via that number, and we will be glad to make certain that your question is answered on today's broadcast. We sure appreciate Robert, and we do want to encourage everyone in the radio audience to check out all the resources we have there on that website, which is BibleAlone.com or .org, either one. And there is a Bible materials button there. You push that, and it'll give you a whole list of resources, including the one on Proverbs that we just told Robert about. And so that is free of charge. Again, never will we ask for any kind of financial contribution. Matter of fact, just put your money away, put your checkbook away, and just let us share with you the riches that God has shared with mankind. Again, if you have a question, call right now, 308-9564. We're about to tell you again about this Bible material that we want you to have as your resource to study with. It's sent to you free of charge, and we're glad to be able to send this to you. Studying it for yourself, instead of just listening to us, will give you the faith that comes from God's Word. So if you just take our word for it, that's not building your faith at all. Oh, you may learn some things, but not until you see these things for yourself will it have the greatest impact on your heart. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So get this course in the mail and tear it apart. Study it. Go into the Word. See everything God's Word says on whatever subject that it addresses. And we're more than happy to share that with you. Again, the Bible Correspondence course number is 553-5157. Go ahead and call right now. You can get in, and we'll be glad to send it to you in the mail this week. Now, if you have a Bible question, go ahead and call right now, 308. This is the Bible Voice Line question, Bible Voice Line question line. I messed that up, didn't I? But here's the number, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We're glad to be with you again. we're doing our comeback in stereo. We're glad that you are still with us today and participating. We're having a busy time here today, and we're grateful for that. We're having people sign up for the Bible Correspondence course, and that's good too. You know, the last caller who went live talked about Proverbs, and Proverbs verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. So that's really what we're trying to do here, is let the Bible speak. Let God speak through us, through his Holy Spirit that has recorded for us his words in the Bible. We want every man to be a liar, but God to be true, and God's truth to be upheld. And so that's what we're trying to do. Give us a call here, 308-9564 to the station, 725-9283, if you'd like to text a question in. And remember that number for the Bible Correspondence course, 553-5157.
We are glad to be able to be with you, and hopefully you are ready to write down the verses of Scripture that will help you to get these answers. And so please be ready to do that as we go to the Bible for the answers. The name of this program, Let the Bible Speak, and that's all we want to be heard. What God has to say through his Word, what the Holy Spirit and through his Word, the sword of the Spirit, instructs us. We have Sam calling in. He wants to know what Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 means. Sam, thank you so much for your question, and thank you for listening. He is a longtime listener as well. And it is so very important that we just hear what God says as well, and to notice in the context what God is bringing out. And so Colossians chapter 2, beginning with, let me start with verse 14 to get the full context here. It says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that were against us, which were contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So he's talking about some writings that were nailed to the cross. So what were they? Well, whatever they were and whoever he's talking to, it seemed to be a very public event that caused this to occur. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, those that it would be the those that were in charge, those who were of some kind of official status, he disarmed them. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Then he says, therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink regarding festivals or new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So that is so very important. We can see there that those things attributed to the law, they were just a shadow. Those things that took place in the Old Testament were just shadows of the real thing, which is Christ, the substances of Christ. So in your mind, if you can imagine someone with the sun setting behind them, walking closer to you, and the closer they get, then you can see the shadow would actually reach you of them before they actually get there. And that's the picture that God paints here. The Old Testament was just a shadow of things to come. The substance, the real thing causing all of this shadow, the significant thing about all of this is Christ. Now we must listen to him. And thus we will be showing ourselves unto Christ, because he now is the one we must listen to. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Sam, hopefully that's helpful to you. Just reading the context will help. Talking about that old law and those things attributed to it was nailed to his cross. Thanks, Sam. We sure appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564. We're caught up on our questions, I believe, and we're glad to be able to go to the Bible for the questions that are on your heart and on your mind. So you can text us your question if you'd rather. If you have a cell phone, go ahead and text at 725-9283. We just got one. We appreciate that very much. 725-9283 is the text number. Or if you'd rather just with your voice, call in your question right now. That voice line is 308-9564.
We have a question from Kathy, and this is a good question. I really appreciate people who ask questions about Bible verses that are seen in that have probably have come up in their own reading, and that's encouraging to know that people are out there reading their scriptures. And Kathy asked this question: what did Jesus mean when he mentioned not putting a new piece of clothing on an old garment? Well, Jesus used that illustration in three different cases, and well, three different accounts of the Gospels have them. It's in Matthew 6, it's in Mark 2, and it's in Luke 5. And Luke 5 records it as a parable. Well, as is true with anything the Bible says, context is most helpful to understanding things that are found in any one verse. So if you go to Matthew chapter 9, we'll just take Matthew's account. And so the Pharisees come to Jesus and then ask him about fasting in verse 14. And the particular question they ask is, why do we and the Pharisees fast often? That is, the disciples of John are asking this question. He says, but your disciples do not fast. And then Jesus goes into talking about the bridegroom. He says in verse 15, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So as he answers this question about fasting, he says, now's not the time. This is not appropriate for the disciples of Jesus to fast because the bridegroom is with them. And so it's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of great fellowship. And then in verse 16, to illustrate that, and Jesus is very, very helpful by always illustrating his statements, his principles. And so verse 16, he says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. And then he also uses another illustration about wineskins. And so what I believe that Jesus is saying here is he's using this illustration You don't put a new cloth on an old garment because that's not appropriate. That's not helpful. That's not the right thing to do at the right moment. And he's using this to illustrate why his disciples do not fast, but the Jews and John's disciples do. So, Kathy, we really appreciate the question. Hope that's helpful. And as you continue to look at the other passages in Mark and Luke's account, that hopefully that will be reinforce the conclusion that we've reached here today. And again, context is so important to understanding what we find in the Bible. Read a passage before, and you read passages after, then that usually, most usually, will give you the answer. You can just find it in the Bible yourself. And that's why we talk about this Bible correspondence course so frequently, because it gets you in the habit of reading the Bible and studying it for yourself. And so you can understand the Bible for yourself. Paul told the Ephesians, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul in Ephesians 3 says, whereby ye read, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So it's so important, so vital. In fact, it's a command, yes, that we read the Bible. But we also should be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Jesus talked about that in the Sermon on the Mount. And if we hunger and thirst, we'll be filled because we are eating and drinking the milk and the meat of God's Word. If you have a question, 308-9564 is the text, the voice line, rather. And the text line is 725-9283. We're about to come on our break, but we may have time for a quick question, Ricky.
Yes, we have a caller calling in this texting in this question. Who made God? Well, caller, we sure appreciate your question. We hope you're sincere about your question, and that is something that is a lot of times people want to know. And the whole question reflects a not understanding some of the things about God. One thing that we see throughout the Bible, I just quickly glanced through here, is about 73 verses, if not more, that describe God as eternal. Now, we are finite, beginning and ending a people. All of us. God put this world, or made this world, for man to live in. In Acts chapter 17, it talks about our habitation, or the limitations, that we are limited by time and by space. So we are ones that operate with a beginning and an end. Well, there is no beginning and end. God is the first. He is the last. And thus, there's no beginning and end, as we are so accustomed to. God is eternal, which means there is no beginning and there is no end. This parameter, which we call beginning and end, or time, is the parameter that God has made for us. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says, He made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. So that's the parameters that we live in. God does not live in those parameters. He created this world for us, this universe for us. And thus, He does not operate within this parameter. Yes, He created it, and He's going to destroy it. But God has always existed and will never cease to exist. And so He is eternal. So this is a parameter or idea that man has, that he must have a beginning as well. And no, he does not. He is eternal. Thank you so much for your question. We very much appreciate your question, and hopefully that has been helpful to you. Again, that was Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. And we're about to tell you about the correspondence course again. And the reason is because the God of this world has done such an effective job at getting people to not see the way that God wants us to see. Even religious folks. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, whose minds the God of this world, this age, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. These were religious folks that he was talking about were blinded. So has the God of this age blinded us? The very fact that you're listening to this broadcast suggests that you have an interest in God. But is it possible that the God of this world, Satan, the evil one, has blinded us so that we do not see some things that are vital for us to see? Let us help you to remove the blinders that he may have given us, that he may have put on us, so that we can see the truth for ourselves and see the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Our courts of law are supposed to be regulated by that, to say the truth, speak the truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, why wouldn't we want that kind of truth when it comes down to our eternal existence? My friends, if you've not enrolled in this course, you would do well to be able to get those blinders removed or to see if there are some blinders and to be able to find out the truth and the whole truth so that you might be able to discover what it is that God himself wants us to see before we leave this life. So go ahead and enroll. The number for the correspondence course is 553-5157. Go ahead and enroll right now, 553-5157. We're happy to send that to you absolutely free. You have nothing to lose but your sin. So why not go ahead and find out how that can be accomplished? 553-5157. Now, if you're a longtime listener and you have a question, the voice line is available. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We appreciate the opportunity that we have here. We appreciate the opportunity that you have taken to redeem the time by listening and by participating in the program with your questions. And we have enjoyed the time that we've had thus far in looking at those questions. We just heard about the Bible Correspondence Course again, and we want to encourage you with all that we have and at our disposal to encourage you to do that, because it is such a blessing to you. And we want fervently to give you that blessing. Jesus tells us, freely you have received, freely give. And that's what our interest is. You know, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, talked to the church at Corinth, and he said something very interesting, which I think is a helpful encouragement to taking of this Bible correspondence course. In verse 6, he says, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." He refers to here the problems that Church of Corinth was having, some saying, "I have Paul, I have Apollos, I have Christ." And he says, Paul says in this chapter, that he writes that we, to encourage them not to think beyond what is written. Now, that's important. What is written is from God. What men speak is just for men. What creed books say is just for men. But the scriptures are of God. And if we study those scriptures, then we can learn all kinds of things. We can learn how to be saved. We can learn how to avoid false teaching. We can learn to become wiser than Satan. We learn not to be ignorant of his devices. We learn how to have success in our life here. We learn how to be good parents, how to be good children, how to be good citizens of the country, how to be good neighbors. There are so many benefits that you will receive if you give your time and attention to studying God's Word. Would you like to have those benefits? Would you like God to bless you in your life? Well, it all begins when we read, and more importantly, when we obey what the Word says. But if you're obeying something, if you're doing something religiously, are you certain that that's because of the Word? Can you find a Bible passage where it tells you to do what you've been doing? Are you unclear of what the Bible says? Or do you have doubts and questions about what the Bible says? And we appreciate the fact that you call us up and ask us. That's one of the reasons we do this program. But you also realize how much more invaluable that would be if you had studied and you knew the answer yourself. And so we encourage you to take that Bible correspondence course. Call that number, 553-5157, and leave your information when the message comes on, and you can sign up for that and have that this week. So until then, if you've got a question, you can call the station, 308-9564, or you can text your question in at 725-9283. And let's look at some of those questions right now.
We have, again, the voice line, if you want to call in your question, is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we'll be glad to take your question. Many of you know that it's about this time that the questions start coming in, and so we will do our best to get to all of these. But go ahead and call in your question right now. They're not piled up yet, but go ahead, 308-9564 to call in your question via the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We have a caller by the last three digits of 113 texting in this question. The question is, would it be wise to, as a follower of Christ, to pick up anybody anywhere beside the road if they need a ride? Well, as I thought about that, of course, the Bible does not mention hitchhiking, and it doesn't mention the idea of picking someone up in a chariot along the side of the road. It just doesn't mention anything about that, and so we're going to have to go on principle rather than specifics. The only place I know where there was someone picked up on the side of the road was the eunuch that picked up Philip, and that was in Acts chapter 8, and that resulted in the eunuch being able to become a child of God. So certainly in that case, it was a really good thing for him, and thus he was able to become a child of God. So, as far as us today, let me just go by principle and would direct you to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. I noticed I turned to Luke instead of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, where God just lays down a principle that might be very helpful for all of us. And it depends on the situation. I have picked up people that were in distress and such. And so you just have to look at each situation and try to judge on its own. And this says, "Behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. Beware of men, that they for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues." And so he's talking to the disciples as he sends them forth to be able to preach the word. And he tells them, you need to be wise and yet harmless as well. And so I think that's probably good advice as far as your question there as well, to be able to be careful in those situations. We are to be servants. And so we live in a day and a time, and sometimes in certain areas that probably is not a very good, wise thing to do. There could be an environment where it would be perfectly wise. And so it's just a matter of learning to be wise and taking care of you and yourself and your family in that process. You don't want to ask for trouble. If you do, then you're sure to get it. And so, but we are to be selfless individuals, to show love to strangers, to be hospitable, Hebrews 13 brings out. And so we've just got to try to judge each situation. Not to be paranoid, but at the same time, don't be scared to where that, you know, we can't do anything. We should be out there being able to be among those that may need the righteousness of God's word being put into their lives. So thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. The text line is 725-9283. You have something about this?
Well, a parable of the Good Samaritan is also another illustration of that. I don't think he had a chariot. He wasn't picking somebody up, right, but he stopped. Mm-hmm. And so I, as a person who has ridden many miles because I've hitchhiked, I've been on the receiving end of that, and that's always been helpful. But I agree with what you said. Mm-hmm. As our culture gets more and more and more and more, violent and suspicious, then that's always it's just good to use God's wisdom
yes.
upon that and be harmless as doves, but try to do best we can for somebody.
Yes, and so there are so many kind of situations that may unfold. We don't want to be like that priest and the Levite that would pass by on the other side of the road and not be helpful. If they were obviously in help, then we should be helpful and extend, because you will receive a blessing through the process. Even though you may be helping someone else, you're the one that's going to be blessed the most in those situations where someone truly is in need. The Lord would have us to be that way. That's what makes Christianity different than any other religion on the face of the earth. Most other religions, not all of them, but most other religions are all about me and how is it going to benefit me and how am I going to receive a blessing from this. Now, there's a lot that would turn Christianity or the way of Christ into that kind of personal benefiting kind of behavior. But you can see that Jesus never behaved that way, nor should we. It's not about what I can get out of it. It's about how I can honor God and serve Him with all our heart. It's time for us to take our last break. We want you to know that while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions at 308-9564. Both lines are available, so go ahead and jump in and we will get to your question. Or if you'd rather text it in, that is also available, 725-9283. Either way, go ahead and call in your question. You set the topic, you set the theme, but God is going to give the answer. And while we're at break, go ahead and call in your questions, and we'll be right back. We're back live now. This is our last segment, so hurry, go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Now, that Bible correspondence course is free, and we are happy to send this to you, and you will be getting this in the mail this week. So go ahead and call for that, and we will get this mail in the mail to you. Get the first lesson. And by the way, those of you that have already received this, if you just got it and let it sit there, then it's not going to benefit you anything. And so you must take it, read it, study it, look up all the verses, see the answers in the Word of God for yourself. Then fill out the questions. All they're intended to do is to just to get feedback, to make certain that you're able to decipher what God's Word is saying. Send that back to us. Then we will send the next two lessons, lesson two and three, along with the graded first lesson. Then you send those back to us, and then we will send lesson three, four, and five. Four, five, and six to you. And then that's the end of the first course, and we have many courses after that. There are some of y'all that have gone through 10, 15, 20 courses already, and we are happy, again, to never, ever charge anything. It is absolutely free. We are thrilled that you are growing in the knowledge of God's Word. But those of you that are listening and you're one of those longtime listeners and going through all these courses, please know that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so if you see things in God's Word, which you surely do if you're a student of God's Word, and you're not doing those things, then that in itself becomes more sin against our Lord, against our Savior. So if we see what God wants us to do, then we need to be doers of it. So make certain that as you learn, that you apply and be a doer and not a hearer only, James 1 and verse 22 warns against. So again, that course is 553-5157, and you can enroll in that, and we'll get it in the mail to you. And we're thrilled to do it, and it is free. But now if you have a question, go ahead and call right now at 308, this is the voice line, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
One of the most important things that we could ever get out of studying the Bible is, what must I do to be saved? You know, it's interesting, that question is asked several times in the New Testament, and hopefully we can get to some of those. But it all begins with hearing about who Jesus is, the preaching of the gospel. Jesus told his apostles in Matthew chapter 28 to go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching God's Word is so important. That's where you're going to get faith in Jesus as the Son of God. That's what Romans 10:17 says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the teaching process, Christianity is a taught religion. So many passages in the Bible that talk about teaching the Bible, teaching the gospel, explaining the gospel, telling the world about Jesus, evangelizing. And so we need to hear the truth of God's Word in order to have faith. And so when we talk about how do I become a Christian, well, you need to know about Christianity. You need to know about Jesus. You need to know about what He did and what He did on the cross. Those are the kinds of places you need to begin. Again, that's why we encourage the Bible Correspondence Course to get you on the way of knowing what you need to do to be saved. You need to hear the truth of God's Word.
And then
what else is involved in that?
What else? Once you believe, or once you hear it, you've got to believe it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And that faith is an overwhelming conviction faith. The word belief in John 3:16 is that kind of meaning in that word belief that is necessary. In Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And so belief is absolutely necessary as well. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So in addition to hearing God's Word, which will generate a faith, then that is necessary as well. But there's more to it than that.
And Jesus goes on to elaborate on this process one makes towards Him, and that's the idea of repentance. In Luke 13, for instance, he says, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish." And a great deal of attention is placed upon the word repentance in the New Testament. In Luke 24, for instance, which parallels Matthew 28 and Mark 16 that we just got through talking about, and Jesus says to the apostles that they should go to Jerusalem, and that repentance, this is verse 47, Luke 24, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you maybe recall that Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about a godly sorrow that leads to repentance, but a worldly sorrow brings forth death.
You know, and that word repentance today is really not understood by a lot of people. They hear about repentance all the time. The other day, someone asked me a question, and I just said, "Well, you need to repent." And the strangest look came over their face. Okay, well, the word repent simply means about face, to turn away from. That's all that means, to turn away from that sin that we were committing. Now, in addition to that repentance, it must be motivated from a godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, "For godly sorrow works repentance not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world worketh death." So if I'm sorry, my sorrow is motivated by any other reason than what God would have me to do. Like, for example, I get a ticket for driving fast, or I get my hand caught in a cookie jar and mama smacks my hand, or something along this line. If that's the motivation, it scores no points with God, even though I might repent or turn away from that. If it's not motivated by God, then it's not going to accomplish anything at all. So our repentance must be motivated by God.
Yeah, that word literally in the Greek is a change of mind. And so if I have a change of emotion, my godly sorrow, it causes me to have a change in mind, and then and only then can I have a true change of life.
Yes.
Where I can bear fruits meet for repentance. So repentance is so, so important. Some people have said that's the hardest command.
It is, probably in the steps that we're going through right now, it is the hardest one, and that is to truly be motivated by God, godly sorrow, to repent. So in addition to that, we also, the Bible brings out Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, and Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, that we have to confess Jesus with our mouth in order to be saved. That's also necessary. And so we may do all of these things up to this point, but my friends, you may be surprised to know that we're still not saved, because the last step that puts us into Christ, and I know that this kind of stirs a lot of people's dander a little bit, but this is what God says. Mark 16:16 said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." And after 3 days of praying and fasting, even Saul, who later was known as Paul, had to also, after praying and fasting and knowing that Jesus was Lord, he had to be baptized. Matter of fact, Ananias came to him, Acts 22 and verse 16, and told him, Why are you waiting, or why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Wow. Now, that's not something that's practiced today. Now, all of these other things you may hear quite often. But, my friends, how often do you see someone come forward and they take them immediately to go have them immersed into Jesus Christ? Now, that phrase, "into Christ," that's kind of interesting, Steve.
Yes, it is, because all the other things we've looked at, you know, we believe unto, we repent unto, we confess unto, but we are baptized into Christ.
Now, where does the Bible say that?
Galatians 3, for one of those, verse 27.
Okay.
All those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ.
Yeah.
Romans 6 talks about it, verses 3 and 4. Being baptized into Christ, into his death. And so that's a thing that people kind of don't pick up too much.
Isn't it amazing? And the reason it becomes a battleground is because our, again, our enemy, our evil one, not our, but the evil one, he is the one that draws that line in the proverbial sand, letting people know, okay, it's okay for you to believe, it's okay for you to repent, you can be good, good, good. It's okay for you to confess. Even my demons confessed. But you ain't going to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Is that right? Well, what about you? Have you gone through all of these steps to also be added to the body of Christ, to be baptized into Christ? My friends, that is the key that is often left out in the religious world. Unless we are completing our journey to get into God's salvation, to get into Christ, Romans 6 and verse 3, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Then if we're not in Christ, how many blessings do we have? Yeah, I agree. We better make certain that we make the journey all the way to be in Christ if we're going to be found in him one day. We're about out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We want to say thank you so much for joining us and going into the Word of God to be able to find the truth, the whole truth, and hopefully nothing but the truth, as God helps us on this journey to be able to know what he wants us to be and to do. So you desire the kind of happiness and joy that can only come from God? Well, then you are to be blessed if you will just continue in this Word and not just be a hearer of it, but a doer as well. It will only come from yielding to the Creator's touch. It won't come from physical things or money or position or even church affiliation. It will come from making certain that we're in Christ and having him add us to his church and nothing but his church. And then, and only then, will he be able to say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for having a desire to know this truth. Please continue to listen next week as we let the Bible speak.